You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora, Bronnie.
Kia ora, Jana. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. What's it been like down there? What was the turnout like and how was the march?
Well, so first of all, things kicked off at 11 and it was raining quite considerably. So there was, I think, a little bit of apprehension that would put a dampener on things, but it seemed like there was still, you know, a really great turnout, a really great spirit. The march itself, there was great. There were some great signs being displayed, and I wrote down some of my favourites here.
Oh, what are they?
Save our planet, dicks. Mm-hmm. More plants, less arsehole. And pollution shrinks the penis. Concerned now.
That's great.
So those are some of my highlights.
Very cool. How do they compare? How does it compare to the feeling of the 2019 ones? Because of course we couldn't have them last year due to COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to know because I had previously been to the Auckland ones in 2019, and they're obviously a lot larger, I think, because of population size. But I spoke to a couple of people, and it was mixed views. Some people seem to think, you know, it wasn't that much different, but it did seem to be the consensus among people who did think it was a smaller turnout that it was because of COVID and also because of the rain today.
Yeah, you do still need to be wary about COVID when you're going to these massive gatherings at the moment still. Did you chat to anyone?
Yes, I did actually. It was great. The good thing about coming back to Wellington is that I saw some people that I knew undoubtedly. So I bumped into my sister's friend Evangelina Telfer, who's actually, she's a playwright, and so I spoke to her a bit. She's writing a play about climate anxiety, so that felt very topical. I also spoke to someone from my old school, Wellington East Girls College, and asked them, you know, is the school in support of it? And she seemed to think that, yes, they were very encouraging. You know, as long as you sent in an email explaining your absence, schools weren't, you know, punishing them for that at all. And then I also spoke to some of the organisers. So I spoke to Sam Sassethwaite from Onslow College and Kieran Stirland from Wellington College. And, yeah, they were talking about the importance of having a march now, having not had one since 2019. And it was really important now because of the report of the Climate Commission and then also it being in the first 100 days of the new government. And then I had a really interesting conversation as well with Kieran about how, you know, when he first went to his first climate march, he was in year 11 and now he's in year 13, you know, and he's one of the leaders. So I can really see, I was getting the sense of how this is becoming quite a formative part of your high school experience now.
Yes.
You know, it's got its own leadership structure and it's something that you grow through and you progress through as you get older in school.
That's so cool. Definitely nothing like that when I was at school. What are the demands that what are the demands?
Yeah, so from what I could pick up on from the speeches, the demands were there was a really strong focus on a just transition, and so that's, you know, building economic resilience through transition away from these harmful industries and towards more green, sustainable ones, and obviously promoting environmental justice through that and ensuring that, you know, people in low socioeconomic situations and areas aren't left behind in that transition. And then the second demand being honouring our responsibility to the Pacific Island nations who are our neighbours and adopting an adaptation plan. And there were some really great speeches all round from a number of the students representing, and one of the real takeaways was that, you know, climate change, it's not just an environmental issue. It's a social issue. It's an economic issue. It's a cultural issue. And it's a justice issue. And there was a great speech as well from a Tongan student talking about, you know, the importance of being an ally for our Indigenous communities worldwide who are feeling the brunt of this most heavily. And she also talked about being tired, which I think is an idea that a lot of people can resonate with. You know, especially this for some of these kids, this is this, you know, they've been doing this for 3 years, so it's kind of natural, that feeling. But at the same time, she talked about the importance of taking time out for yourself and self-care.
Yes, speaking of being tired, did they talk much about how after COVID and after having kind of having to put environmental issues on the back foot a little bit, what that's like coming back after that, and does it mean you have more energy or less?
Yeah, it, definitely they spoke about how they put these demands out on the 26th of January and were really, you know, adamant that this is our chance post-COVID to bounce back, and saying that, you know, they've seen little or no acknowledgement of that from the government. So, yeah, I think that the COVID definitely did feature in a lot of these discussions.
Speaking of the government, were there any ministers there?
There were. So there were, as expected, four ministers from the Green Party. There was James Shaw, Marama Davidson, Julian Genta and Eugenie Sade. And I think Jenny Anderson from the Labour Party was supposed to be there. She was actually meant to be answering some questions out on the stage, which was a bit awkward because then she didn't turn up. And also, you know, invitations were extended to ACT and National. Mm. Interestingly, no mention of the Māori Party. But, yeah, ACT and National both didn't turn up, and that got a boo from the crowd. So,
really?
And the ministers were presented with what was called a book for change, which is a book that the students have compiled of all these different climate stories and experiences of the crisis.
Interesting that none turned up. You'd think you'd show face, especially in Wellington.
I know. I mean, aren't you at work anyway?
You're right there. Hey, no. Bronnie, thank you so much for crossing to us and talking to us live about this. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely, no problem. It was great to get out there. And I hope the rest of your wire goes well.
Thank you. Out there doing it. That was Bronnie Wild, 95BFM reporter. Another live cross from the Auckland Climate March, our 95BFM reporter James Tapp is down there right now, and it sounds like it's full in the swing of things. Hi, James, how's it going?
It's going great. They've just started there just outside the Deloitte office building right now. We've had a couple of speeches from a range of people, some people from Waiheke on the marina, a little bit about the sexual violence march that's going on tomorrow. They've got quite a few banners. It's not quite as big as it has been in the previous years, but it's still a march up Queen Street, and that's something to be said for.
Yeah, so are you at Altair Square at the moment?
They can't actually go to Altair Square because there's another thing going on there today. So they've been down at Queen Street outside of Britomart. So unlike previous marches where they've been asking for just action from the government, this time they've got a few demands, and this time it's for Auckland Council. And they're asking for more sustainable, more affordable public transport for those living in Auckland City, and just asking for more action from Auckland Council.
Yeah, it's cool. And the Hauraki Gulf as well, I assume that's a big topic of conversation.
Yes, it's a huge conversation. We've seen a huge amount of data and a huge amount of talk happening around how we're looking after the Hauraki Gulf and how, well, really it's not being looked after at the end of the day.
So we couldn't have these marches last year due to COVID. I can definitely hear them in the background there. Let's just take a moment to appreciate the chanting.
Yeah, I'll let you guys listen to them.
Let's have a listen. So good. So, sounds like it's very energetic. You said there weren't as many people as 2019, but how's the energy after COVID? You there, James?
They're quite loud, as you can hear.
Yeah, they're very loud. I was just asking, what's the energy like after, you know, having to have a year off after COVID? Is this, you said the crowd wasn't as big, but it sounds like the energy's still there.
The energy is there. I think it's possibly the loudest, the most energetic crowd they've had so far. It's more of us packing the same punch. They've got the signs out. They're funny as always.
What are your favourites?
They're here to make a statement.
Any favourite signs?
There was one talking about how Earth's hotter than your dad. There's a few relating to just fossil fuels. There's a lot of signs relating to Ihu Mātou. And as these protests go on and on, I think the thing with each one, we've gone from this is a climate strike to this is a climate strike, a social strike, and really bringing the idea forward that all of our issues through society are connected in one way or another.
Bringing through that intersectional stuff, hey? Are there any ministers there, or are you expecting to see any ministers there?
I haven't seen any ministers as of yet, but I will let you know if I see any.
Sounds great, James. Hey, I really appreciate your time. I'll let you get back to marching and chanting and all that good stuff.
Sounds great. Have a good one. Calling.
Bye. That was James Tapp, 95 BFM reporter, and he is at the Auckland Climate Marches. And we just heard from Bronnie Wilde a little bit earlier down in Wellington. In Wellington, though, it had just, you know, come to the end of the march, so we didn't get that same background noise. But it's great to hear that chanting and energy and all that going on. Fantastic stuff.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.